I think I told you on the phone that I wanted to start out by talking to you about the years before the war and your family. And I wanted to ask you, first of all, if you knew anything of your own grandparents.
Oh, yes. In fact, my grandmother and my mother and I lived together. My grandmother practically brought me up because my mother was working much of the time. She was a milliner, and she had her own business. And so my grandmother, she was the light of my life.
So that was your mother's mother?
Yes. My mother and father were divorced when I was about 3 or 4 years old, so my father never played a big part in my life. It was just my mother and my grandmother and I.
Did you ever get to know his family at all?
Well, yes, I had a couple of aunts who lived in the town, and I knew his family, but we weren't close in any way. It was just acquaintances, we happened to.
What was your mother's maiden name?
Wood. Yeah, Elnora Wood, but everybody always called her Nora.
And had her, what part of the country were her parents?
I lived, was born in Geneva, Ohio. It's a small town about 50 miles east of Cleveland. And I was born, brought up there, lived until I graduated from high school. It's just a small town, about 4,000 or 5,000. Kids start going kindergarten and go clear through high school, the same people you've known all your life.
Were your grandparents from there originally?
Yes. In fact, they were my grandmother's and I think my grandfather's two families were pioneers in the Western Reserve area there. They're originally from New York State. I have lineage check way back to the Revolution because my cousin is that's her hobby is genealogy. She's real big in the DAR, so she has it all checked and listed way
so
back.
So your family were here a long time.
Yeah.
Did what kind of work did your grandfather do?
Well, he was he died the year after I was born, so of course I don't remember him. I have pictures, and of course, hear my mother tell about him. He was a cabinet maker, and he did all sorts of things, really. That was his main trade, I think.
So did they live inside the town itself?
Yes.
So it wasn't out on a farm?
No, I never lived on a farm.
How did your grandmother support herself after he died?
Well, the house that we lived in belonged to my grandmother, really, and she had a small pension from my grandfather. I think she used to get $40 a month, and I suppose, you know, she'd have maybe a little money. But my mother was the main breadwinner. In fact, her business was pretty good back before all the department stores started selling hats, you know. She was a milliner back when they'd take a hunk of buckram and some velvet and make a hat from scratch, you know, and trim it with plumes and flowers, and, and they made real creations back in those days.
Did you know anything about in terms of with your mother? How many children were in her family?
She and one sister and one brother were the children of my grandmother's second marriage. She'd been married quite young to a man, and I think she had about 5 children who were all older. And there were just the 3. the three children and her her second marriage.
And did your mother go to school at all?
Yes, she went to school in Geneva there. Though she didn't graduate, she I think she dropped out when she was about 16 and went to work sort of as an apprentice in the millinery business. So I guess maybe times were kind of hard there. And my aunt and my uncle both finished high school, and back my uncle went on to business school and in Cleveland. He was really the father figure in my life, and I was very fond of him.
Do you know about what year your mother was born?
1887. Now I was born in 1909.
How she? You said she left school when she was 16 to take on an apprenticeship. How long was it after that she married your father? Do you know how old she was when
they married? Well, see, I think she married in 1906, if I remember. I've got her marriage license around here someplace. But
so she worked for a while.
And that, well, they was probably one of those marriages where they just weren't suited. My father was kind of an easygoing, happy-go-lucky type, and my mother, she was a real Aquarius. She was a go-getter and a real vital person. She was something else. She was, I mean, she wasn't one that just, me, I'm the sort of person life just kind of happened to, but she was really a participant, you know.
So she married him, and then were there any other children?
No, I was the only child.
And so then she moved back with...
Yeah, well, in fact, I think that she'd probably live there right along at my grandmother's house, because... that's the earliest place that I remember. I mean, that was where I was born there. And that my father, when he worked, he was a fireman on the railroad, and there were long times when he wasn't even home, even when they were married, you know. And so I think that they just always lived there. I never heard her speak of having a home by themselves.
So you're saying your grandfather had... died when you were just a year old.
I mean, hardly anyway. Yeah, I was born in September, and he died in June of the next year, 1910.
Were you born at home? Did your mother tell you anything about the day you were born?
Well, from what she said, she had a very hard birth. That's kind of unusual, because we're a family of big people, you know, and usually a good, robust type doesn't have too much trouble, but she had a very difficult time, and I guess she decided then that once was enough for her. But I weighed over 10 pounds when I was born, so I was a big baby. But in fact, I guess she was in labor for, I mean, really hard labor for about 48 hours. My grandmother, she wasn't a midwife, but she did help a local doctor we had there. In fact, that doctor's grandson is still practicing back in Geneva. And she used to, she wasn't, you know, never had any nurse's training, but actually she went out and worked as a nurse with him, especially, I guess, with... deliveries and that sort of thing.
So you weren't the only baby she'd helped deliver?
No, sure.
Did she ever give you any idea of where she'd learned about that?
I never even heard very much about it. Mama just mentioned it. And when I was younger, I didn't pay as much attention as I should have to the things, you know, Mama used to tell me. Now I would... sort of file them away and remember more about it.
Now, so it was your grandmother and your mother and you living there together. Mm-hmm. You'd mentioned your uncle. Was he also living in a house?
Yeah, he lived at home too. It was a big old house then, and he lived there until he married.
Was he younger than your mother then?
Well, see, my aunt was the oldest, and then my mother, and then Uncle Roy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was born in 1885,
mm-hmm.
probably. My mother was born in February of 87,
mm-hmm.
and Roy was just a couple. He was born in December, I think, of 85. Or, I know, I mean 85. Must have been 89. I mean, Aunt Mamie
yeah.
was born in 85.
So just a couple of years.
Yeah, they were just kind of stair steps.
So, growing up in the house there, what kinds of relationship did you have with your grandmother? You mentioned that you were really special to her.
Oh, yeah, well, I guess I was her favorite grandchild, but that happens because of, you know, being close and the fact she brought me up. But
mm-hmm.
I remember Mama said that when I was just about a year old, they went to visit some of my father's relatives back in Minnesota, I guess. And she said I cried that she took me away from Grandma. Well, I got back. I just didn't want to be away from her. Everybody, she was a person that everybody loved. All my friends, everybody in the neighborhood called her Gram. We didn't always live in that house. After I was about 8 years old, I guess, then we moved from there. And my grandmother was crippled with rheumatism,
mm-hmm.
and most of the time that I can remember, she was in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm.
That she just couldn't get what she could get from her wheelchair to her rocking chair and to her bed, you know, but she wasn't able to walk around more than a few steps.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a wonderful person. I don't think that she had too much education, but she was just one of those people that didn't seem to be necessary. She had a lot of common sense, and she was.
Did around the house growing up, were there any chores that you had to do?
Well, I was sort of a lazy type. I never did like housework. But my grandmother, from her wheelchair, she always did the cooking and the dishes, and a good share of the time my mother was able to hire somebody to come in, you know, and do most of the housework. So I never ever really did any more than I had to. I was just too busy enjoying myself.
What kinds of things would you do for?
Well, I used to read a lot when I was. I never was a real athletic type, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember playing baseball and things like that. Occasionally, you know, or in school, but I liked more sedentary pursuits, and I like to draw, and. In my spare time, I'd be more apt to be drawing pictures. I never planned on being anything but an artist
mm-hmm.
from the time I was quite small.
So you really sort of thought of that as something
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, definitely. That was, I built my whole life around that.
Uh-huh.
And I could be quite happy just, you know, drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And my cousin, when I was really small, they didn't live in the same town, but then later they moved back, that'd be my mother's sister,
mm-hmm.
moved back to Geneva, and so we were always, well, more like sisters than
mm-hmm.
anything. She was nearly 2 years, or about 19 months, I guess, older than I was. Mm-hmm. She was 2 years ahead of me in school. Mm-hmm. And I followed her around a lot. She took violin lessons, and she was really, really pretty good on the violin. Do you mind if I get a glass of water? My mouth gets awful dry. I didn't think of...
So you were talking to me about your cousin.
Oh, yes. She took violin lessons, and she was very good. And of course, everything that she did, I thought I had to, too, so I had to get a violin, and I was never any good. But we did have a lot of pleasure out of it, because our violin teacher was a very nice old maiden lady, and she got a group of us together, and we had an orchestra. The only place we ever played was Baptist Church, because we all belonged to that. Uh-huh. They had to listen to us once in a while. But we had a lot of fun as a group. We lived about 4 miles from Lake Erie, and she'd chaperone us, go with us, and we'd go down and have weenie roasts on the sand, you know. And mm-hmm. and back in those days, we didn't have so much go and study, boys and girls. Oh, you know, there was a certain amount, We enjoyed things more as a group, and we had a real fun group. I look back at now, we were pretty innocent, or the kids nowadays.
Did you spend much time? I mean, at that what age was it that you started doing things with boys? Was that all the way along?
Oh, well, I had. You know, there were some boys. I wasn't one of these girls that was real, real popular with the boys anyway. You know, I didn't pine about it. In fact, I didn't even think about it much. most of my social life was in our church. I mean, we weren't real religious type people, but it just worked out that way. In a small town, there's not all that much to do. Mm-hmm. And we had a very very nice minister that was there for years, and he was always good with the young people, you know, and, mm-hmm. and he was always willing for us to have parties in the church and things. And so that whole, just as a group, our social life seemed to revolve around that, more or less.
Which church was
this? It was the Baptist church. Uh-huh. And as I look back, that was mostly my activity.
I wanted to go back a little bit to when you were talking about your grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
Getting around in the house with the wheelchair. Mm-hmm. What was the house like that you were living in? You had lived in one until you were about eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it was a smaller place, a house more about the size of this, although we did have an upstairs. You know, I think we had one bedroom downstairs, which was my grandmother's, of course, because she couldn't go up and down the stairs. Uh-huh. And my mother and I slept upstairs. We had two bedrooms upstairs. Uh-huh. But it was a house, well, on the outside, it kind of looked a lot like this. Mm-hmm. And I remember my grandmother and I, we used to enjoy. I never thought about her as being old, you know. She was more like somebody my own age. Mm-hmm. And I can remember in the summertime, and she'd give me some money, and I'd go down to the store and buy a Love Story magazine and a big stick of wintergreen candy, and I'd bring it home. We'd crack the candy up, and then we'd take turns reading the Love Story magazine. She'd read a story, and then I'd read a story.
And
she was that way, you know, she was.
Mm-hmm. Did she have any trouble getting around the house, though?
She did it all from a wheelchair, uh-huh. And that wasn't a wheelchair like people have nowadays. It was a great big old wicker thing, you know, with a couple big wheels on that she could push. And mm-hmm. It's amazing to me now that she was able to get around so well in it. Mm-hmm. But,
did your family have a car?
No, we never had a car. Mm-hmm. My uncle had a... I remember his first car was the first one I remember was a Model A, and another aunt who was a half sister to my mother, she was my grandfather had two children by his first marriage, and she was a child of his first marriage. Mm-hmm. And so she and her husband lived on a farm over in Pennsylvania just across the line from Ohio. Mm-hmm. And a real special treat, maybe two or three times a year, Uncle Roy would drive us over to Linesville to visit Aunt Ninny. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of a special treat to get a ride in a car in those days.
Yeah. How did you get around?
Well, they lived in a small town, and there was no place in town where you couldn't walk to if you wanted to go. Mm-hmm. And there was a streetcar line that Ashtabula was the nearest town, larger town. That was about 10 miles away. If you wanted to go to Ashtabula, you could go on the streetcar. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we had the railroad, the train, if we wanted to go to Cleveland. So we wanted to go to Cleveland. It was nothing just to go walk down, get on the train, and and go in there. That was another one of my pleasures. My mother, of course, had to go into Cleveland quite frequently to buy for her store. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, she'd take me into Cleveland with her on a buying trip, around the wholesale houses with her and sit and wait while she picked out things she needed. And we had other friends who lived in Cleveland. They were very close friends. And so usually when she took me up with her, we'd stay overnight with these friends or maybe mm-hmm. for a day or so, you know, and make it a little something special. And so I always enjoyed my trips up to Cleveland. Mm-hmm.
Now, she was a milliner. How many hours did she have a shop in a different...
Yeah, her shop was downtown.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And but it was in the same town as Geneva.
Uh-huh. Yeah, she, in 1918, I always remember that because she said she caught the flu on Armistice Day, you know, that was a real big thing, you know, when the World War I was over and people were downtown, you know, really having a big time. And she figured that she caught the flu that night. But anyway, she had the flu and she was very, very sick. And of course, I was about 8 years old, I guess, then. So I can't remember all the details, except I can remember her being sick for months and months. And then she got a blood clot in her leg. Mm-hmm. And as I understand it, with the doctor, I've had some blood clots too, and had them in my lung. But I guess I understand that your vein narrows right here in your groin. Well, the blood clot... it must have been so big it couldn't go through to, you know, to go to her lung or to her brain. And so it was lodged there. And I guess, she was in terrible pain. And, of course, they didn't have all the blood-thinning medicines back in there. There wasn't anything that I can remember. Now, the doctor might have been giving her some medicine, but evidently it didn't do much good if it did. Mm-hmm. And about the only relief she, the way they treated it, was to put hot towels on it. Mm-hmm. And I guess her leg was swollen at least twice as normal. Mm-hmm. And that went on for just ages, and I guess they didn't expect her to live for a long time. Mm-hmm. But she did then get better, but she couldn't walk. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of unclear in my mind about how long a period that covered. It seemed to me that it was quite a while. The doctors told her that she had, when she was better, we had a good doctor in Geneva that took care of, but he was an old country doctor, you know. Mm-hmm. And after she got so she could be up, she'd go to Cleveland. There were a couple different doctors in Cleveland that she went to, but they told her she'd never be able to walk again. And I don't know just how it affected her that way from the blood clot, but anyway, that was seemed to, it was a came from that. And of course, nobody should ever have told my mother that she's never going to be able to do something again. So, and then when she was able, she had other people working for her, and in the back room of her store, she had a cot put in there, and she stayed there and ran her store from that bed in the back of the store, and she slept there at night. Mm-hmm. And my uncle, not Uncle Roy, but my aunt's husband, mm-hmm. He was so good. He'd carry meals down to her, you know, and well, of course, everybody did for her. But and then later, and I don't know how many months it was. It was probably quite a little while. Mm-hmm. Well, then she was able to be up in a wheelchair, and I know Uncle Harry would wheel her down to the store mm-hmm. every day and take her home, mm-hmm. and so eventually she walked. But it was her own determination, I think, more than anything.
Yeah.
She was a very strong woman, physically as well as mentally. But there was a period of years before she was actually able to walk. And, of course, she always had trouble with the varicose veins and that sort of thing. That seems to sort of run in my family. I remember my aunt had it, too. And I don't mean my aunt, my grandmother.